The title of the message today is Overcoming Failure. Overcoming Failure. Would you please say that out loud? Say overcoming failure. I think we should say this. Say, I'm an overcomer. Say it this way. Say, I can overcome. Yeah. Come on, now touch your neighbor and say, hey, you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. Now, Jesus said this in John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I think we should really look at that verse. If you have your Bibles or if you're looking at it on the screen, but just really pause and take this in. Now, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. I want you to know today, God wants to give you incredible peace. He wants to give you peace that passes understanding. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. What I loved about Jesus is that he was very, very real, very honest, very genuine about the things that we would have to walk through. And so he says, you're going to have trouble. That's part of life. We live in a broken world. We live in a messed up world. You're going to have troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's powerful. And so at the very outset, I just want to declare to you and announce and just speak into your spirit. I pray that I can speak spirit to spirit today that you're an overcomer, that you can overcome. You can walk through the darkest valley. You can climb the highest mountain, but you are an overcomer. So let's say it again. Say, I'm an overcomer. And let's say overcoming failure, overcoming failure. I don't know about you, but I like McDonald's. Now, when the kids were little, a run to McDonald's was wonderful because ice cream was like $1 a cone. Yeah, so make a family run to all six of us to McDonald's. It was $1 a cone. So a run to McDonald's was always great for ice cream. And let's be honest, at least back in the day, it was a pretty economical meal for a family. Okay, now, the trouble is that, now I like McDonald's. I like Big Macs. I like quarter pounders with cheese. I like a fillet of fish. I like McDonald's. Now, McDonald's has gotten a pretty bad rap lately. And some of you just think it's not very, very healthy. And on it goes, even my family. So it used to be just Ryder and I, the youngest. Every once in a while, I'd make a run to McDonald's. Now, you know, he's so into nutrition and fitness that I can't even get Ryder to go with me. So sometimes I just have to make a little run to McDonald's. But I want you to know, McDonald's has had a lot of failure. And I want to remind some of you that have been around long enough for over the years, the times that McDonald's has failed. But they've tried all kinds of different products. Do you remember the McHot Dog? The McHot Dog. McDonald's actually tried to market and sell a hot dog. That's not their niche. That did not do very well. They also tried McOnions. These are colossal failures. These just did not take off in McDonald's. Then they started getting a bad rap about health, so they tried the McSalad Shaker. This was the McSalad Shaker. And so you would put your dressing in there, shake it up a little bit. These hardly sold any. They hardly sold any McSalad Shakers. Then there was the McCrab. Well, I'm going to guess none of you go to McDonald's for seafood. This is not their niche. This is not what they're known for, right? And probably the biggest failure of all, have you ever heard of the Hula Burger? The Hula Burger was just a piece of pineapple slapped on bread. The Hula Burger. So you don't know any of these because they never made it. These guys failed at their products. But the thing about McDonald's is they always seem to They always seem to bounce back. Now, some of it's cultural. You have to admit, your palate, what you like to eat, oftentimes is very, very cultural. You know, for example, McDonald's tried to serve spaghetti. Never took off. McSpaghetti never took off in the States. But do you know if you go to McDonald's in the Philippines, they serve spaghetti. Isn't that amazing? They serve spaghetti. If you go to McDonald's in Korea, they have the bulgogi burger. The bulgogi burger. So some of it is cultural. But I want to say this, McDonald's always bounces back. So you can be negative. You can say you don't like McDonald's, but I don't know. They serve 6.5 million burgers daily and 2.36 billion annually. So you may say that you don't like them, but I know you're going. I know you're sneaking. I know every once in a while you got to get a, if you're like me, you got to get a Big Mac. So, and it's okay to have some cheat days. Say amen to that. It's okay to have a Big Mac day once in a while. And so, but McDonald's, they're just great at bouncing back. They know how to overcome failure, don't they? They just keep going. They keep trying. Kids are better than adults at overcoming failure. Have you noticed that? In fact, when our kids make mistakes, we smile. We chuckle. We think it's cute, some of the mistakes that they make. I heard about one kid. He saw a veteran in his uniform, went up to him and said, "Thank you for being a veterinarian." Another kid came home from school and he told his mom, I met a new friend. "Oh, really? That's wonderful." "Yep, he has optimism." And so if you have optimism today, I want you to know that's your superpower. Praise the Lord. So he met his new friend who had optimism. So we think it's cute with kids. It's harder for adults, but life isn't easy, is it? And so we get old. Our bodies tend to break down a little bit. We tend to gain weight. You might go on a diet and then you fail. You fail at that diet. It reminds me of a little boy who asked an old man, he said, "How old are you?" The old man said, "Well, I can't remember." And the boy said, "Look, it's really easy. Just look at the size on your pants. See, mine are 6. So that reminds me, I wear 6. And so I'm 6 years old. So now I'm going to give you some information today. I am 32 years old." That's how old I am. I'm 32 years old, right? But if you think about it, life failures are much more difficult, aren't they? I mean, think about a failed exam. How about a failed investment? You invested a whole lot and it failed. How about a failed job? You tried and it just didn't seem to work out. It gets really emotional, gets difficult. How about a failed relationship? That's painful. Or a failed marriage. You've gone through the difficulty of that. Or you feel like maybe you're failing in your parenting. These are much more difficult things to overcome. But I just want to say this today, man, God wants to release hope that we can overcome failure. Say amen to that. Here's the thing that I've discovered is you might succeed 100 times and only fail one time. Which one do you tend to think about the most? I think it's part of humanity and our human condition and our fallen nature. We might succeed 100 times, but yet we focus on the one failure. We focus on the one thing that's not quite right. We repeat over and over in our mind the one mistake that we made. I should have said that. I didn't say it the right way. I shouldn't have done that. What would it have been like if I'd made that other decision? And so instead of focusing on all the 100 great things, we tend to focus on what we feel is oftentimes a failure. I think that's part of human nature. And so today I just want to talk about overcoming failure. So first, what does the Bible say about failure? What does the Word of God say about failure? Well, the first thing is this: everyone fails. And so oftentimes we tend to isolate ourselves. We tend to think, well, I'm the only one that messed up that way. Or we tend to look around. This is something about humanity where we tend to compare ourselves, look at everybody else around us, and we think that everybody else is doing much better, must have it much better than we do. And so I want you to know that we are all in the same boat. And so everybody fails. Listen to James chapter 3, verse 2 in the NIV. It says, we all stumble in many ways. We all stumble. And so we have got to realize that every single one of us stumble. We stumble in our relationships. We stumble in the things that we say. We stumble in our spiritual walk with the Lord. The New Living Translation says it this way, indeed, we all make mistakes. And so I don't mean this to sound too elementary, but at the outset, we've just got to say, you know what, we're all in the same boat. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. We all fail. And we fail in so many different ways. It can be in our relationship with the Lord, in our relationship with others, the things that we try to do. We are just so, so human. And so that's the very first thing, is you got to know today that everyone fails. You're not the only one that fails. Now, having said that, I say this, everyone can recover. Everyone can recover. So if we've messed up, if we stumbled, if we've fallen, if we feel like we've failed, the truth of the matter is that everyone can recover. So listen to Proverbs 24, verse 16. The NIV translates it this way, for though the righteous fall seven times, they will rise again. And what a powerful verse. If you fall seven times, the righteous will rise again. NLT translates it this way, the godly may trip seven times, but they'll get up again. I like the Message. The Message renders it this way. No matter how many times you trip them up, God-loyal people don't stay down long. Soon, they get up on their feet. And I love this verse. And you might be here today and say, well, I don't feel like I'm that righteous. How does this verse even work? Well, you are God-loyal. Well, you love the Lord. And the righteousness that you have is the righteousness that Jesus has given you. And so you with your heart, you are, as the Message said, a God-loyal person. You're following the Lord. But it's this picture of even if you fall down, you get back up. And probably the greatest revelation that the Lord ever gave me on this verse in Proverbs was when my kids started learning how to walk. Because I learned a lot when my kids started learning how to walk. The first thing I noticed that when my children were learning how to walk, they fell a whole lot. But it didn't bother them at all. They would fall and then they'd bounce right back up and they would keep trying. Have you noticed that when children fall, they don't worry about it? It's adults when they fall that they worry about it. Think about this. If you fall, you start thinking, oh no, everybody just saw me fall. I'm so awkward. I'm so uncoordinated. But children, when they fall, they just bounce right back up. The other thing that I took note of is when my children were learning to walk and they would fall, not once did we ever punish them for not being able to do it. I mean, think about that. That might sound silly, but you wouldn't punish your child. Say, what's the matter with you? Why can't you walk? Why can't you get this right? In fact, even when they got older, if they were running and tripped and fell, we don't speak ill to them about that. No, to the contrary, you're saying, come on, get back up. You can do it. You can get right back up. That's the word of the Lord for us today. So we overcome failure by understanding, you know what? Everyone fails, but everybody can recover. Everybody can get back up. And so the problem is you've been thinking like an adult. You got to think like a child. Say amen to that. I'm not saying, you know, there are other verses that say that we have to be mature in the word and understand maturity in Christ. But this childlikeness to say, you know what, I got to have this revelation that if I fall, I got to get back up. Do you remember those toys called Weeble Wobbles? Right? The Weeble Wobble, it would fall. No, how did it go? It would Weeble Wobbles, they what? Weebles wobble. That's what it was. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Weeble. So you're a weeble wobble. You're a weeble wobble. You know, you might get knocked down, but the key is that you're bouncing back up. The key is that you're right back up. You're getting right back up. You're continuing on. That's the kind of thing the Lord wants us to have. And so he wants your recovery to be really quick. He wants your recovery where you bounce back up. So everyone fails. Everyone can recover. The third thing is this, is everyone can get help. All of us can get help. So Psalm 145, 14 in the NLT says this, "The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads." And so you might be here today and feel really weary, feel like you're bending over, trying to carry the financial burden, trying to carry the burden of parenting, the burden of relationships, the burden of your career. The promise is the Lord helps you if you fall, helps you and lifts you up. The contemporary English version translates it this way: when someone stumbles or falls, you give a helping hand. And so I'm here to declare to you today that if you've fallen, if you've stumbled, man, the Lord wants to reach right out and pick you up and say, come on, son, come on, daughter. You can do it. You can get right back up. The New Century Version translates it this way: the Lord helps those who have been defeated and takes care of those who are in trouble. Man, what powerful verses that the Lord is saying to us today, that you can get help. If you feel like you've messed up, if you feel like you've fallen, if you feel like you have failed, the great news is you can get back up, but the Lord wants to help you to do that. So there's recovery for all of us, and there's healing for all of us, and God will help us. And what wonderful, wonderful news if we feel like that we have failed. The fourth thing that the Bible says about failure is that everyone can learn. Everyone can learn. So Psalm 119, verse 71 says this: "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." Would you agree with me? If we're really honest, we don't like stumbling and falling. But would you agree with me that usually when you stumble or fall, you learn? You learn a whole lot. One, you learn about yourself. Two, you learn about how gracious God is. You learn about his healing process, the recovery. And so we learn so much. And so this psalm is raw. This psalm is honest. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn God's decrees. If we're really honest, sometimes we don't learn until we've hit the bottom of the barrel. Sometimes we think that we can do it all our own way. We think that our way is the right way. But sometimes you go through difficult things, and it's in order to teach you to, one, look to him, and to realize that you got to do things God's way. Say amen to that. And so it was good for me to be afflicted. It was good to go through some difficult times so that I could learn what the Lord wanted to teach me. Listen to the contemporary English version. It translates it this way: "When you corrected me, it did me good because it taught me to study your laws." Sometimes when you stumble, when you fall, when you make mistakes, and you start getting into God's word and you say, man, I got to study this. I got to start learning something because the way I'm doing it isn't working. The way I'm trying to walk and run this race isn't working. So, Lord, I got to find out how to do this thing called finances, how to do this thing called marriage, how to do this thing called parenting, how to do this thing called ministry. I got to find out, and I got to study your word. And so if we'll embrace this process to say, you know what? Sometimes God corrects me. Sometimes I'm afflicted, but I do it so that I learn more. I study his word. The message translates it this way: "My troubles turned out all for the best. They forced me to learn from your textbook." And so these are the scriptures that point us to this idea that all things work together for good. And God loves you. He's called you toward his purpose. And so you realize that, hey, everybody can learn. So my encouragement would be this, to remind yourself everybody fails. Secondly, that everybody can recover. Thirdly, everyone can get help. And then everyone can learn. And so if you have stumbled and you have fallen, be courageous enough to ask yourself, hey, what can I learn for this? God wants me to overcome any kind of stumblings, failures, mistakes, but what can I learn from it? What is he trying to teach me in this process of knowing him? And if you'll be courageous enough to do that, then you're going to start walking as an overcomer. And so two things that I feel are very important to remember about failure. Two very important things. Number one, failure does not define you. That's really, really important. I cannot underscore that enough. Failure does not define you. Failure is just something that happened. But what we tend to do oftentimes, especially if you've failed multiple times or you've tried something and it hasn't really worked, what we tend to do is we start feeling like we're a failure. And so you have to remind yourself, you have to take that thought captive and say, you know what? I'm not a failure. Failure does not define me. This is just something that happened. Now, if it's happened multiple times, it gets harder and harder to do that. So you've got to renew your mind and say, you know what? This does not define me. Listen, just because you made an investment and it didn't work out the way you thought it would work out, that doesn't mean you're a failure. Say amen to that. Okay, even if you have a failed relationship, it doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean that you're a failure. So this is really important to remind ourselves that failure does not define who we are. Yes, we have fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, we're not perfect. But when you get a full revelation that you're a new creation in Christ, and you're not going to be defined by just the stuff that you do, but it's a definition of who you are as a person. Are you getting this? It's really important. And so I submit that we need to say failure does not define me. It's something that happens. That's not easy to do. If you're like me and you make a mistake, what I tend to do, what I've struggled with is I'll make a mistake, then I start feeling like a failure. And I've got to get victory over that and overcome those feelings and say, you know what? I'm not a failure, but these are things that have happened. I've made some mistakes. The second thing that I think is really important is that failure is not final. That's really important. So hold on to that if there have been mistakes, if there have been failures, it is not final. In fact, it's just a temporary setback. And so we all admire the stories of the people that have gone through difficult times. They make great novels. They make great movies of somebody that went through a difficult time, but yet they overcome. None of us want to go through that, but we admire it. We admire the person where they failed or they had a setback, but yet they overcame. Well, that's you. That's me. And God is saying, you know what? I want you to get this revelation that it is not final. It's just a temporary setback. In fact, I think we should just pause and just say this as a prayer. Say this, Lord, I believe, say it, Lord, I believe that failure is not final. It's just a setback. And I'm going to overcome. Say it, I'm going to overcome. Yeah, we're going to overcome failure. So those are some things that the Bible says about failure. Two important things to remember about failure. Now, I want to submit some thoughts to you on how we can overcome our failures. Because all of us have made mistakes, we've stumbled, but what are some things to get us in the right mindset to be an overcomer, overcoming failure? How can we overcome our failure? The first one, and this might be really hard for some of us, is to accept our humanity. To just accept our humanity. So what we tend to do is we tend to put too high of a standard on ourselves. If you love the Lord, and I'm looking around, and I think most of us really love the Lord, we want to please him, right? But here's what I tend to do. I don't know if you do this. I tend to be able to release grace for everybody else, but I'm not good at releasing grace to myself. And so when somebody else messes up, I'm like, oh, you're human. It's okay. No problem. But if I mess up, man, I have a hard time with that. I can't accept my humanity. I've been working on this. Well, I don't want you to be discouraged, but one of my failures, right? So I've been working on this since college. I remember my college pastor telling me, Eric, you have got to accept your humanity. Quit putting such a high standard for yourself. And so I think that comes from the Lord, right? We read the word. We want to please the Lord. There's a, we put a high standard for ourselves. And I'm not saying to lower our standards, but what I am saying is we have to accept our humanity and realize that God's grace makes up the difference. And that's a very freeing place. So it's this idea where if you mess up, what I used to do, I would mess up. It would take me a long time to recover. I think I'm getting better at recovering faster, accepting my humanity, going to the cross, saying, Lord, forgive me for that. I receive your grace. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. Let me get back up. Let me get going. Whereas before, it might have knocked me down for quite some time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So may the Lord give us grace. So make this your prayer to say, Lord, help me to accept my humanity. Help me to accept the fact. In fact, Lord, help me to give grace to myself as much as I give grace to others. So to help us to accept our humanity. Now, in accepting your humanity, I want to say this. Don't blame others. That's the other side of the coin. So you accept your humanity, but then there's sometimes where you don't want to accept your humanity, but it manifests like this. Well, it's not my fault. Well, I wouldn't have done that unless they did that. Now, what you're doing is you're deflecting it. It's their fault. You're playing the blame game. Well, I only did that because you did that. I only did that because they did that. No, there comes a time where you just got to accept responsibility and accept your humanity and say, you know what? I'm going to be courageous enough to say, it's not everybody else's fault. It's my fault. But I'm going to accept this. I'm going to accept my humanity. So you can see the two sides of the coin, where you might blame yourself too much or you might blame others. Only you can answer those questions. So 1 Peter 1, 1:24 says it this way in the NIV. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. That's humanity. Grass fades. Glory fades. Flowers fall. A little more revelation, the NLT translates it this way. People are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So our beauty fades a little bit is what the word is saying. The older you get and you look in the mirror, like this is fading. I'm getting older. But there comes a time where you can't live in denial about it. You got to accept your humanity and say, this is who I am. I'm only 32 years old. No. I'm 57 years old. I got to accept my humanity, right? I got to accept that. So you accept your humanity. Make that your prayer. Say, Lord, help me to accept my humanity and give grace so that, just like when a child is learning to walk, Lord, help me to bounce back up. Help me to receive your grace. Help me to keep running. And I'll say this, you know, your greatest enemy is actually not the devil. We've got complete victory over demonic forces because of Christ. The greatest enemy is usually ourselves. We just have trouble believing God's goodness and God's grace for our lives. And so accept your humanity, receive God's grace. This is how we really overcome failure. Secondly, accept what happened. So whatever failing is in your mind or thought is in your mind, accept what actually happened. In other words, it's okay to be sad about that. It's okay to grieve over that. And then ask the Lord to heal. Ask the Lord to heal. I mean, no doubt, if you start a business and you had to close that business, there's going to be tremendous disappointment. There's going to be feelings of a failure. You got to say to yourself, no, that was one business. In fact, most millionaires will tell you they've lost it many times, but then they recovered and God blessed them. So you have to say to yourself, okay, that was a business. That was a failure, but I'm not a failure. But it's okay to grieve over it. It's okay to say, wow, that you know, Lord, that hurts. That I grieve over that. You know, very serious things. What if you lost a relationship or went through that? You're going to grieve over that. Go ahead and grieve. Accept what happened. Sometimes people never get healed because they never actually accept what happened. No. I'm okay. I'm okay. That didn't affect me. That didn't affect me at all. You know. No. Go ahead and grieve and say, yeah, that was painful. But ask God to heal you so that you can overcome and continue on. So accept what happened. Listen to Psalm 38:17 out of the NLT. I'm on the verge of collapse, facing constant pain. The Psalms are raw. The Psalms are real. David says, man, I'm about to collapse. I'm facing constant pain. He's accepting what's happening. That's reality. He's not pretending that everything is okay. He's being real about it. The King James Version translates this very, very, very good. I like this. It says, for I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. How many people have felt like they wanted to halt? I just feel like quitting. I just feel like stopping. I'm tired of doing this. Lord, it seems like every time I try, I can't seem to succeed. It seems like every time I put one foot in front of the other, I tend to be the one that trips. I tend to be the one that falls. And so there's some minutes where we feel like quitting. We feel like we want to halt. But just be real about that and say, Lord, I'm going to accept that these are the things that are happening, but I'm also going to believe that this isn't the end of the story. It's not the end of the story for my life. It's not the end. This might be the end of a chapter, but aren't you glad that chapters end? You can turn the page and start a new chapter. Shout amen if you believe that. So we accept our humanity. We accept what happened. The third thing that I want to submit to you when it comes to overcoming our failure is accept that there are things to learn. Be courageous enough to say, you know what? If I failed at a business or I failed at a relationship, it may not have been just the other person's fault. Usually takes two. And so you got to be courageous enough to say, you know what, this relationship, man, maybe there's something I did wrong. Maybe I got to learn from this. Maybe there are things that I can improve, if it's finances or in the ministry or whatever it might be. But accept that there are things that you can learn. Psalm 25:4 in the NIV, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. If we could get to a place of maturity in the Lord that when something happens or we stumble or we fall, and we could immediately say, Lord, I want to get back up, but teach me what I can do better. Show me. Lord, show me. Show me. Show me. In fact, trust the fact that had you not stumbled, that you may not have been in a position for the Lord to reveal to you what you needed to correct or work on in your life. That takes a lot of courage. But if we're willing to say, Lord, show me your ways. Lord, teach me your paths. Failed relationship? Lord, how do I do relationships? Failed business? Lord, how do I do business? Failed parenting? Lord, how do I do parenting? Failed ministry? Lord, how do I do it? I want to do it. I want to do it your way with authenticity and genuineness. Lord, show me. So I'm not a failure. I'm going to believe that. These were things that happened. These were events. But Lord, I want to improve. What's the silver lining? How can I become a better child of God? How can I become a better person in the Lord? Be courageous enough to say that, wow, there might be some things to learn. The great news is you can always be improving. The great news is that growth takes time, and oftentimes growth is painful. But if we'll be courageous enough, we'll keep growing in the Lord. Amen? And so many people in life, unfortunately, don't embrace the growth process. And so they're still emotionally in the same place that they were 20 years ago because they're not willing to say, you know what, there might be some things for me to learn from this. And that's where marriages break down. And that's where relationships oftentimes break down. But accept that there are things to learn. The New Century Version translates it this way. Lord, tell me your ways. Show me how to live. So, Lord, I've messed up, but Lord, show me how to do it your way. Show me how to live, Lord. Show me how to do this your way. So when we're overcoming failure, accept your humanity, accept what happened, accept that there are things to learn. The fourth thing I want to submit to you, accept changes. There will have to be some changes if we're going to overcome failure. So things change, and we have to be willing to accept that and be willing to make changes ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but change is hard. Change can be difficult, and sometimes we can see things changing, and we don't like it. I don't like all the traffic that's coming in our area. In fact, we live 7.5 miles from the church, so I can ride my bike here if I want to ride my bike. And so we have a house on a cul-de-sac, and behind our house is a pond, and there's a conservation area, and then all along our cul-de-sac, we just had trees, and the way our house is built, all the windows are just facing the trees and the pond, so we don't ever see our neighbors. And so it's been like our little spot in Wesley Chapel that we feel like we're in the country. Deer would come every morning. I've seen little otters come. We have a gator. I've seen some bobcats. I actually saw a Florida panther one day. We've had all this wildlife. And then 2 years ago, a big development came, tore it all down. And my heart just sank. I didn't like this change. But I was determined. I said, Lord, give me a good attitude, about this. And then now I could hear, I never heard traffic. But now after they tore down all the trees, I could hear the traffic off the 56. And so I didn't like that change. Now, in the meantime, it's gotten better. And they've built houses and planted trees and done different things. But I don't think any of us really like change sometimes. Because gone are the deer. The deer aren't coming back. God or the wildlife that I had. So we don't like change, but I've got to accept the changes. And then even in my own life, when something changes, I got to be willing to make the changes. So listen to Jesus, Matthew 18:3. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And so we have to accept change, and we have to be willing to change. You know, the Greek word here, I don't have time to do a word study on it for you, but the Greek word here means to turn around or reverse things. In other words, you got to start doing things differently than you did before. You got to start thinking a little bit differently than you did before. You turn around or you reverse things. In other words, you have to be willing to do things differently. If we're going to overcome failure, then we got to be willing to do things differently. If it's not working with our kids, are we willing to change? Are we willing to do things just a little bit differently? If it's not working in our ministry, are we willing to be sent to the Holy Spirit and maybe make adjustments and change? If it's not working with our finances, are we willing to accept the fact that this is the way it is, but we need to make some changes? And so accept changes. And the last one is this, accept new challenges. So you got to get up and keep going. You got to say, what's the new challenge in your life? What's a new challenge in relationships? What's a new challenge in business? Whatever it might be. Now, when Saul, who later became Paul, was persecuting Christians, you know the story in Acts chapter 9, he's on his way to Damascus, and he has this encounter with the Lord. The Lord knocks him to the ground, and he's stunned. He's blinded. He looks up. He says, who are you, Lord? And the scripture says, Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Sometimes when we fail, sometimes when we get knocked down, sometimes when we're on the ground, God says, you know what? Now you just got to get up. And think about this. This wasn't easy. He was blinded, couldn't see for 3 days. God did heal him, but he was knocked to the ground. He was blinded. But you know what the Lord said? He said, hey, get up. Come on, get up, and now go and do it the way I want you to do it. Many, many years ago, when I first started in the ministry, I was going through some really tough times, and I'd call my parents. I still call my parents, who are 85, and still get their wisdom and insight into things. But I remember calling my mom, and I was so hurt by some people in the ministry and the difficult situation that I was going through. And she listened, and you know, my parents, they served the Lord in obscurity in the middle of Africa and the Congo. And I learned a lot from them about sacrifice and being faithful to the Lord. And she just said to me on the phone, she said, "Son, I remember when you were little and there would be times that you would fall and you'd be crying. But then I'd just brush off your knees and say, 'Come on, buddy, you can get up. Come on, go play, keep playing.'" She said, "Son, this is one of those times you just got to brush off your knees and keep going." What powerful wisdom and advice. There will be times that we get knocked down, that we ourselves stumble, that we fall. But you know what? You just got to brush your knees off. We're not minimizing the hurt. We've already said God wants to heal. God wants to touch. I'm not minimizing really painful things. But you know what? Eventually, God just wants to brush off your knees so that you can keep going. You can keep walking. You can keep running. And so we have to accept the new challenges. Don't miss that part of the verse where Jesus says to him, "Now get up and go. Now get up and go." So there's a time that you feel knocked down, you need healing, you're praying for that, but then you just got to get up and go. Can you say amen to that? And so I conclude with this. A lesson from baseball. I know we have some people that really enjoy baseball in our church, but think about this. We consider somebody with a 300 batting average to be a good hitter. That's a good hitter. If you're batting 300, you are a great hitter. But think about what that means. That means that that batter fails 7 out of 10 times. Fails 7 out of 10. They only get a hit 3 out of 10 times. They fail 7 out of 10. But we consider that a great hitter. So why are you so hard on yourself about life? Why are you so hard on yourself about doing things? Some of you know your baseball history, but Babe Ruth, considered one of the greatest home run hitters in the world, but he struck out more times than he hit home runs. To the tune of 1,330 times that he struck out, only hit 714 home runs. Everybody thinks that's amazing, but he struck out more than he had home runs. But he kept swinging. He kept swinging. I like this quote from Winston Churchill, and I'll be done. He was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. He said this, "Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts." Amen? And so you got to realize you're not a failure. You've had some failures, but you're going to overcome failure. You're going to learn to get back up and keep walking and keep running. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.